The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Paul Craig finishes Jamal Hill in round one.
I felt it go. That's why there was no much point of putting pressure on it. And that's why I decided to keep elbowing.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
All right, welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Just we're all getting situated.
As in me, as in I'm getting situated.
Nah, me too, buddy. Me too. I'm looking at my fat head, and I'm really annoyed at my fat head. A good night of fights to chat. Ooh. About. We have Paul Craig coming on the show. Chad Belding will be on the show.
Mr. Belding?
No, not that.
Wait a second. Are you telling me that Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell? I'm excited.
No.
Who is it?
He's a hunter. He's the host of The Foul Life.
I'm way off, Jimmy.
Which, yes, you are.
Way off.
But it's spelled F-O-W-L, like as in bird. And Matt, you and I'm looking forward to doing our thing on my sofa.
Oh, well, that could be anything, Jimmy. Please specify.
Yeah. Matt and I are planning a man-to-man hugging session. Ooh. Just a couple of men hugging it out. Now we're doing the watch along.
Yes. What is that?
I believe it's the night of the Conor fight, July 10th.
July 10th. I can't wait, Jimmy.
It would be weird if it was the night before and we had to pretend we were watching fights.
Oh, I smell sleepover. Jimmy, you know what I did this morning? I'm going to rephrase that. Jimmy, guess what I did? No, it's the same thing. Jimmy, let me tell you what I did this morning.
Okay.
I got a root canal.
Did you really?
Dude, if I start drooling and I'm just like, nah, 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 let me know. Because I don't feel anything.
Your mouth is a little numb.
Yeah. This espresso could be burning hot. I wouldn't fucking know.
It's amazing you can talk as well as you can after that type of numbing. Like after I get like anything with my teeth and it gets numb, I'm fucking, I can't, my mouth won't go together. Your mouth sounds perfect.
Like Doug Bell when that happens. You're old.
Yeah. Big Doug Bell fan. I respect that.
Oh, Chad is ready. I want to hear about Chad the Hunter.
Hey, Chad.
Matt, Sarah, Jim Norton, how are you?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you guys. Big fan of both of your work.
Oh, thanks, man. Thank you so much.
You watch the fights, Chad?
I love UFC, man. Love MMA. I got to be honest. Chad Mendez and myself were pretty good buddies. We started this new cooking company. So I've been out on the road the last 3 weeks cooking up barbecue and grilling with Money Mendez. So I haven't got to see him yet. Get him on DVR, but huge fan and try to pay as much attention as I can.
Did he mention that to us at one point, Matt, when we had Chad on? That sounds familiar for some reason. I don't know why I'm thinking I heard of that. Maybe we talked to him and he was just talking about other ventures or something. I don't remember why, but that's not surprising. What do you guys cook?
We started a company called The Provider. You know, we live off the land pretty much. So we got this ideology or mentality of we are hunters and we do pursue wild game from fish to big game to ducks and geese. So we try to educate everybody in our circle on how to prepare that wild game as a substance of protein and means for your family to eat it. And we provide some unbelievable meals to first responders, homeless shelters, you name it, we've done it. But this last week we did the a big rodeo and we fed a bunch of cowboys and VIPs and they loved it.
Yeah. Now you can, I'm not a good cook. I tried quitting meat for a while. I'm not good at being vegetarian or vegan because I fucking started getting fat again because I'm eating all this sugar. So I kind of went back to I went right back into steak. I'm not a good vegan at all. I'm like, I eat no meat except for steak. That's a shit vegan. So I'm trying. How is duck? Like, is it fattening? Is it not fattening? Because maybe I'll cook up some duck.
Duck's good, man. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do it. A lot of people give it a bad rap because they overcook it. When you start dealing with wild game, you don't have a lot of the – it's a lot leaner than most of your domestic meat. So you just cook it to about 131 degrees internally and let it sit. But keep the skin on, sear that skin. And Jim, I'm telling you, there's so many different marinades or dry rubs that you can use and different grilling methods. Or we do duck fried rice and stir fries and lasagnas and spaghetti gravies and sauces. I know Sarah's got some Italian heritage in him. I do a ton of Italian meals with wild game. So just take a lot of pride in it, a lot of passion, a lot of visualization. And I don't use a whole lot of measurements or anything, just go with what I'm feeling. But okay. Ducks and geese can be real good.
Let me ask you about the cooking the duck. Is it true that people probably, is the reason why they're overcooking it is because if you undercook duck, it's like really like poisonous? Or am I way off with that?
Yeah, way off. I think duck, the raw, yeah.
I thought that shit was like poisonous or something.
Chicken, you could get sick if you don't cook it long enough.
Salmonella, yeah.
Duck, you could get, you know, you could eat pretty raw, Matt, Sarah, and get a really? And get a really good flavor out of it, yeah.
I like meat burned. I literally like fucking, I like it where if you drop it, it shatters like you fucking dipped it in liquid nitrogen. I know, nice. I like black crust on my meat. I really do. I like really, really well done meat, that burned flavor. I love.
Well, wait a minute. Do you mean like crusted and seared, reverse seared on the outside and then medium rare on the inside? Or you like it well done all the way through?
I like it well done all the way through and charred beyond recognition on the outside. that's how I like it. Like, I don't want to recognize that it was a living thing once, but I like the flavor of that too. Meat, when it's like, you know, some of my friends like black and blue, they prefer really, really raw. But it's too chewy. I don't like it when it's that chewy. I like a nice hard piece. But that's just how I like my meat.
I get it. My mom's the same way. I got to have it medium rare, man. 100% yeah. Medium rare.
I'll tell you, this is out of left field, but I watch those lions attacking the buffaloes all the time. They fucking, after they go for the jugular, and sometimes they're attacking them, trying to get them down. They're already eating out their asshole. Jimmy, yeah. You might like that. Listen, that's how they do it. Sometimes these poor animals are alive and they're inside their ass, just out their fucking insides. It is a horrible way.
It's funny you mention that because that's how smart these wild animals are. If they kill them dead and that blood starts pumping, that meat just rots and develops, you know, rigor mortis and then goes into a state to where they're not getting any flavor out of it. These lions or coyotes in our country or wolves, they will literally eat the Achilles tendon out of a beef cow in Montana, Wyoming, Texas, wherever, and cripple that cow and then start down where you're talking about in the anus and then and not kill it, not go for the organs or anything that's going to kill that animal. Keep that blood pumping through it, keeping that meat fresh, and they'll eat on it for 2 or 3 days.
And it's not possible. Are they not doing that just because I would have assumed that even a wounded buffalo can hurt a lion if he gouges it. So I would have thought they ate the asshole out because it's less of a dangerous place to start chewing.
I guess it depends on what that buffalo has in its system. If, you know, that anus can become a pretty dangerous spot too, I think, Jim Norton. But I know what you're saying, but they cripple them. And I know, you know, those lions, they're tenacious. And and mountain lions or lions, I know we're getting off subject here a little bit, but they'll kill a fresh animal a day, you know, when it's hunting season. They got to eat for a lot of poundage of raw meat a day to survive. So they're killing animals consistently.
What do you think? The buffalo, 2 out of 10 times get the horns in on them? Usually it's like 1 out of 10. Sometimes they get lucky and they fucking get them. I love those videos when the buffalo come out on top because they're usually getting fucked.
Yeah.
But when the buffalo once gets them, it's
I would say that the buffalo, the Cape buffalo or the water buffalo in the different countries on the continent of Africa are probably the least likely to get killed and perish by a lion. You know, they're going after zebras and plains games and animals that they can run down and attack. But those buffalo, man, they're mean. And I those lions will get on a calf or something, one of the baby buffaloes, and you better make sure that mom is not around because she'll come unglued on them.
and they don't fuck with elephants. But once in a while, you'll see them going after a baby elephant, and baby elephant. And they'll kind of, the elephants will surround it, and then you're like, the lions are still going after it. I'm like, what are you, idiots? Like, you're going to get stepped on. But they if they want something, man, they really they're pretty good at turning off their fear sensor.
Fucking jungle. What is he going to get, DoorDash? He's got to fucking get his game, man.
Yeah, but you don't want to get stepped on. If you walk on a Domino's, you don't have 6 tons stepping on you either. I mean, an elephant just fucking step on you.
It's true.
Right. Oh, God.
All right. Back to the provider.
Yeah. Back so you, to the provider. Have you been to the fights? I guess if you know Chad, you've probably been.
I've been to a lot of big time. I'm in Nevada, so I played college baseball at University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and started going to fights in the 90s. I played center field leadoff hitter, but saw several Tyson fights at the end of his career and a lot of De La Hoya fights. I was at Foreman Moore at the Caesars Palace when Foreman. No, that one was at MGM. I was at Evander Holyfield Riddick Bowe when the fan man came into the ring and got his ass kicked.
Oh, you were there for that? Yes.
Yeah, I was down on the floor at Caesars Palace Outdoor Theater back in, what, 95, 96?
Yeah.
And Riddick Bowe's fan, his corner saw his wife. She fainted because she got scared somebody was trying to attack Riddick. And they saw that and they thought that fan man ran into her. So that's when cell phones were like that big, like bricks, and they just started beating the shit out of that guy. Man.
Yeah, a little street justice. He got what he kind of deserves.
Probably wished he went into the other corner where Holyfield's camp was. They're a bunch of Bible thumpers. They're probably like, it's okay, fan man. He went to Riddick Bowe's corner. They were rough. Even that little fucking white guy that talked like he wasn't, he was just like, they were horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, they gave him a beating.
They did give him a beating, man. But, yeah, I've been to several UFC fights. I was at, and I don't mean to bring this one up because I know there was the rivalry between you and Hughes, but I was there the night when I think it was Rashad Evans and Machida, and you guys were the co-event.
Yeah, it's nothing. I still think I won that fight. It's okay.
Yeah, you guys – I went to Hughes' after party at some little country bar down on the south end of the strip after that, and myself and John Kerry, John fought for the U.S. team for 13 years in the Pan Am Games and stuff and jiu-jitsu. But we both thought that you won too, and we were kind of surprised at the fight. So, but you can't leave it up to the judges, am I right, Sarah?
You're right, buddy. It's like that one buck that got away. Sometimes shit happens. Listen, Matt Hughes is durable, you know, but at least I got to throw him and punch him in his head. I don't like to talk about it now because I know he's not in the best shape now. So I don't like to be I'm opposite the way that guy lived his life. I'm not a bully, but it felt good to punch him and throw him though when he was healthy.
Did it feel better to do it to GSP? Because that was like that was the ultimate that night.
Well, it felt better to hit Maddie because George is such a nice guy. But that's the gift that keeps on giving. Don't get me wrong. I'm so happy about that. It's me, and the last guy to beat him besides me was fucking Captain America in the fucking.
But you didn't like beating. You didn't like hitting Frank Trigg.
Well, Jimmy, now you're embarrassing me in front of our new friend, Chad. Let's get back to the provider, Jimmy. So Chad, you do a podcast too. The podcast is. What is the podcast called?
No, well, I started the podcast 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, called This Life Ain't For Everybody. We have a sister one called The Foul Life and another one called Where the Payment Ends. But This Life Ain't For Everybody, I was in Nashville and I saw that written on a wall of a little honky tonk. And I'm like, man, that kind of goes with what I do because there's all these different walks of life that like what you did for a living is it's incredibly hard to justify training the way MMA fighters do to go in there and get hit for a living. Like I've never, like Tyson said, you know, everybody's a tough guy until they get hit in the face, and fighting is so hard. And then what Jim does, like being a stand-up comedian is so genius to me when you can put it together and go own a crowd for 60 minutes and put together a set like that. So my life's different. I duck hunt, I live off the land. So with that, I got to take my network that I built through hunting, and I've hunted with so many MMA fighters, Henderson and Forrest Griffin, and I've had Chuck Liddell on the podcast, and I've had, you know, Uriah Faber and Michael Chandler's getting ready to come on to it. And so because of that common bond of the outdoors, fishing or hunting, I'm able to develop kind of a friendship with these guys, or at least a commonality. And then they come on, and I have musicians on there, NASCAR drivers, athletes and military. And I pay a lot of homage to all of our military and our armed forces. So I have those guys on there a lot, and fighter pilots. So it's a podcast of a lot of different walks of life that I've been humbled to meet through my association with the hunting industry, and to be able to sit down with somebody like you guys or Dan Henderson that I literally in the 2004 to 2010 time frame, I watched every one of your guys' fights. So get to sit down with the guys that trailblaze that sport and that culture of MMA, it's big for me, and I'm humbled to be able to do it. And that podcast has allowed me to get intricate with a lot of fighters like yourself or comedians like Jim.
Now, Chad, when you have these guys come hunting with you, of all the fighters you've done it with, which one was the most squeamish in the outdoors? Like, because it's amazing that fighters are so deadly in the cage, but which one would you say handled it the worst being in the outdoors?
Jimmy.
Well, that's not a bad question. I'm sure that fighter would tell you too.
Question. I think that he's going to, you know.
He's going to get my ass kicked.
He's going to have to be armed.
No, there's got to be someone who didn't like it or who was like, this isn't for me. There had to be someone.
Oh, there you go.
I've tried, and I love Liddell, and I've tried to bring him on a lot of hunts, and he's shooting guns now.
Sure.
He hasn't committed to a hunt, and I think that he would love it. I think that he would, you know, like Henderson was very inexperienced at this when we first started taking him out. And then he got right into it to where he started seeing the meat being cut off the bone and then the recipes. And then he would taste the meat and he would just be like high fiving everybody of the lifestyle. But man, I don't know. I don't know Jim Norton if I've seen anybody be like, that's not for me. But I have had fighters tell me, no, I'm not ready to go out yet. You know, I'm not ready for that part of it. They're shooting guns. They're taking target practice, sporting clays, whatever. But they're not ready to put that beat on a live animal.
Yeah, I've never hunted. I never liked hunting. But people who hunt and eat what they hunt is amazing to me. Like that to me is, it's doing it better than any of us do it, because I eat meat from the store. I just don't have the balls to go out and shoot it myself. So guys who are actually out, like you see Joe with a fucking, you know, a giant thing of elk meat. And it's like, it actually looks appealing to do something like that. And like you said, cut it off the bone and cook it and eat it. And it's probably a lot healthier than what you get in a store.
Well, I think that what Rogan's done for this hunting industry, I know that he's so well-diverse in so many areas, but when he started throwing it out there that he was going to go with Cameron Haynes or whoever it was, and he was going to archery hunt a bull elk, and he was going to harvest it right, he has compassion for that animal and respect for the resource, and then he's literally sitting there with jalapenos and a knife cutting meat off and searing it on his Traeger grill, whatever he's using, and bam, everybody in his downline's like, wow, man. Wild game must be good if Joe Rogan's eating it. So it's awesome to kind of put that credibility behind the lifestyle when he's got so many eyeballs on him.
Well, it's the videos. Like Joe would show you videos of him cooking elk meat with garlic. And it was he has such a varied group of interests as a person that you're looking at it, you're like, fuck, that's a great video of food. That makes me want to eat that food. We just had Marlon Vera on last week before his incredible performance.
Oh.
And he was talking about how he wanted to go to Joe's and get fucking elk meat. But the videos were great. It just made you hungry for that shit. Like, I would like to eat that.
Well, I'm sure you're good friends with Bill Burr. I don't know if you are. I'm assuming you are.
Oh, yeah.
And he had the same reaction when Joe Rogan sent him that elk meat and fed him that elk meat off the grill. He's like, holy shit, where do I get more of this? And it's funny you're bringing that up, Jim Norton, because during COVID, stores were running out of meat. It would blow your mind how many people were coming to me to, I'd open my freezer and give them an elk tenderloin or some backstrap or some duck or goose, wild turkey meat. And Mendez went through the same thing. And they're like, how did you get this? Where do I get more of it? And I'm like, we hunted that. We called that turkey in and we harvested it. We cleaned it. We butchered it. We processed it. We came up with this recipe. And COVID really opened a lot of eyeballs to people. I want to know where my food comes from and I want to figure out how to go out and get it. So there's a lot of new hunters and fishers out there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something I've never done. But when I see guys doing it like that, you can't argue with it because it looks good and it looks healthy. And you know that you're, again, somebody, whatever I eat, you know, it's not committing suicide. Someone's killing it,
Jimmy,
know, so.
My father-in-law, Ciro, makes the best venison. That deer meat, holy shit, is my favorite fucking thing. And he makes it looks like a chicken cutlet or a veal cutlet. So fucking good. And I feel I'll eat that shit and rip a Kimura. I feel powerful after that.
Yeah, it's lean.
Yeah, so you started, did you ever get injured hunting? Like, have you ever, again, I don't know, do you use a bow and arrow too, or do you just use a rifle? And if so, have you ever had an animal get pissed off and attack you where you weren't able to defend against it?
We've had close calls. I mean, we're predator hunters a lot too, so we don't need to go into this too much, but we call mountain lions, bobcats, and coyotes to within inches of us to where we're trying to get them as close as possible. And, yeah, we've had them run into us. We've had them sneak up on us and be in the bushes lurking right behind you with a cougar that would literally maul you to death if you got a chance. And so I've had close encounters like that. And yeah, we've walked up on deer that we thought were perished and had to stay out of the way of getting gouged by one of the antlers. But, no, I've never had an injury except one that I caused by myself by either being out of shape or twisting my ankle in a cornfield or some shit like that.
So you eat the cats? You eat the bobcats? How's that taste?
We've eaten a lot of mountain lion, and mountain lion can be really good.
Ooh.
Bobcats are a smaller animal, and they can be really good if you do like a pulled pork approach to them with a slow cook, you know, like a crock pot style cook. We do it on a grill on low heat, but yeah, you can make, I will not eat a coyote. And that's why I wasn't going to go into predator management, because I understand that audiences are different, but and there's different points of views and ideologies on it. But yeah, we do practice predator management, and we truly believe in it, but we don't eat coyotes, but the cats we do.
Why not coyote? Just too gamey?
Well, I mean, coyotes are literally like, they have very, very little meat on their bones. Their torsos, if you take the hide off, if you've ever skinned one out, are so little. It's really just bones. There's not a whole lot of meat on them. But a good friend of Joe Rogan, Steven Ranella, who's the AKA the Meat Eater, he has a brand called Meat Eater, and he's on Joe's podcast once in a while. He eats coyote, and he says it's good, but I don't believe him.
Did you ever see, there's a woman, I don't know where she's from, but she eats, like, the iron stomach on this fucking girl is crazy, where she eats all these weird seafoods, like, with nothing, like, she'll dip them in a little sauce, like, she'll eat, like, a gooey duck clam, or all of these things. It's revolting, but she eats it, and she... like without cooking it, she'll just eat them raw. You ever see, I forget what it's called, but it's some weird fetish thing or it's some weird thing. People just can't believe that she can do it. I wish I could remember her name, but she eats seafood raw, which is a little disgusting.
Are you fans of sushi? Either one of you, I assume.
Yes, that I'll eat raw. But I mean, this is just like, she'll take the thing and smack its head and fucking bite it. You know, she'll eat the eyeballs and everything. Yeah,
she doesn't play games. I don't know about that style.
Yeah, man. I went in Japan. Henzo took me to some, there was some seafood place. There was a thing fucking winking at us as I look at worm. He's like, this is good, Hapa. I go, fuck that shit. I don't even know what that, I'm not touching that. The thing was looking at us.
Yeah, parasites scare me a little bit from sushi, like, because it's a lot, like, that worries me a little bit, like, the raw, like, you might be able to get a parasite, that kind of scares me, even though I don't think I've ever had one.
Yeah, I haven't caught any from sushi. I eat sushi quite a bit. I like sashimi without the rice, but there are some things in a sushi bar that you can eat alive, you know, like giant clam when you order it is still alive when they bring it to you in the shell, and it's so good if you can find a fresh sushi restaurant.
Yeah, no, I couldn't. I can't get it. I know that. That's why I can't eat lobster, because I just see it hanging out in the. I feel bad for it, just kind of hanging out like a dick. I can't eat lobster. I can't eat anything that I know that they're just gonna is gonna look at me first. Like, I don't need something just making a mental note as it looks at me. You know, I want to eat it from a distance. Not
you can't walk up to the aquarium and pick one out, huh?
No, I can't. Well, listen, man, where can people get your podcast and all that? Because obviously, you're very active and. You know, great setup. This is how I know you're a real podcaster, because you have a professional mic and headset. We interview so many guys that just kind of talk with no mic and it sounds like that. So whenever I always appreciate somebody that just has a basic microphone, and you have a great system there.
I've copied you guys and Rogan, man. You find influences and inspiration, and like the fights, we haven't talked much about it, but UFC's been huge and you know, a lot of entertainment value for us. And I got a ton of respect for what fighters do. So having the chance to come on here, you know, you hear people say, well, that's humbling to be able to come on here. I don't know if that's the right way to put it. I try to stay humble every day, but being able to be invited on here and talk to you guys for a few minutes, man, it's awesome for my career. And it's a bucket list deal. So thank you. But our podcast, This Life Ain't For Everybody, and The Foul Life and Where the Payment Ends, are on all of the platforms, from Spotify to Pandora to Apple and all of them. You can find us on YouTube. Our TV show, brand new season 13 of Benelli's The Foul Life, airs exclusively starting July 2nd on the Outdoor Channel. A lot of fighters on it. Hendo's in some episodes. Uriah's in some episodes. Money Mendez is in some episodes. So we got some really cool play with some good musicians, fighters, a mix of all these different cultures, and we're hunting all over the world. So hopefully you guys can catch one of those. And, man, I can't say enough thank yous for having me on here. You guys are awesome.
No, it was good talking to you, man. It was really fun fun talking to you, and I'm sure I'll see you at the fights out in Vegas because I'm going to start going again in July, I think. So maybe we'll say hello face-to-face.
Well, maybe there's a way we can link up, and I would love, and I know that you guys are big time, but I think that you'd enjoy my podcast. If I could ever have you guys on as a guest, I'd be blown out of the water if I can get a hold of you guys somehow.
Anytime, man. Our producers will give you my number at least.
Yeah, Jimmy, absolutely.
Fancy. My number. I'll put that shit right over the air. I don't care.
Matt doesn't even have my number. Matt has to DM me on Instagram.
Hey, look, before you let me go, Jim and Matt, sure. Where are you touring at all this year? Or are you staying quiet for the rest of the 21?
I'm starting touring in August again. Minnesota or Milwaukee. I forget where I'm going to be. It's called Comedy on the State. It might be in Minneapolis. I just don't remember where I'm going, but I'm starting again in August because now capacities are back, and I know that shows won't keep changing capacities on me. And you know,
Jimmy, is there way? And Chad, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Jimmy's comedy too much, but is there any way to have as a headliner for you? Not a headliner, the opening act or something. Would you ever have your buddies like Chip Chipperson or Doug Bell open up for you, or is that impossible?
No, I wouldn't do that because I couldn't follow them. I couldn't follow them. They would do much better than me. I couldn't. They do their own thing.
Maybe Chip, he's got a weird follow. You think Doug Bell would do as well?
Yeah. No. He'd bore people quickly.
Okay.
All right, Chad. Good really talking nice to you, buddy. Take care, man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so
much. Take care, man.
Take care.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
There he is. Look at this guy.
Not a scratch on him.
Paul, nice to see you, man.
It's a pleasure, man. It's been a while.
It's been a long time, dude.
Yeah, I think it was last November before we went into lockdown. We went into lockdown in March, and I think it was a way back in November, the Shogun fight.
Ages ago, man. But listen, hey, as a jiu-jitsu man, I love watching you fight, dude. People are against pulling guard.
Hey, it works. What? It's worked numerous times for me. I think, see jiu-jitsu and MMA, I think it can be quite frowned upon if you're one of these guys that just hold position. But I'm not that type of fighter. Like, I'm always looking for the submission. And because I'm always looking for the submission, I end up losing position, but it's just to how attacking we are as the MMA.
You're so good in jiu-jitsu, especially off your back. How, being from Scotland, correct?
Yep.
Being from Scotland, where did you find jiu-jitsu? When did you start training jiu-jitsu? Because I'm assuming there's not a jiu-jitsu school on every corner over there.
Oh, there's definitely not. It just happened to be that there was one down in Colt Bridge. So that's 20 minutes away from me. I had this friend, his name was Alex, and he introduced me to it, and he says, come and learn UFC chokes. That's what he called it, and that's what I learned it as. I thought, this is what it was called, and it wasn't until I'd maybe been a month and I realised, oh, this is called jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. My lineage comes from, Brian is my main coach, so he does all my jiu-jitsu, he does all my MMA, he does pretty much everything, but under... his black belt is Marcus Nardini. Marcus Nardini is one of Amal Easton's black belts.
Oh, a good friend of mine, Amal Easton. Holy shit.
Yep. So from way back in when Marcos was in Colorado, so that's where my lineage comes from. And obviously Amal Easton's lineage.
You've been to Boulder, Colorado at all or no?
No, I haven't. It'd be cool to go back to where Marcos picked up his bread and butter, basically.
And Mal Eastern, he came up. He came up with me at Henzo Gracie Academy. And when I was in Brazil, he was in Brazil with me, competed in the Pan Ams with me. So he's a very good friend of mine.
Yep.
And I remember I visited him in Colorado, and we're on the mountains. This is when I was like in my early 20s. And there's an old, I'm catching my breath in these fucking mountains. There's an old lady with like two fucking walkers walking right past me. I'm like, what the fuck? The altitude there.
They breed them differently in there, don't they?
Fucking insane.
Yeah.
Hey, you're big. This is a weird question. Are you a big? And every time we got a guy from Scotland, I go, Jimmy, don't ask it, but I'll ask it today, Jimmy. Are you a big William Wallace fan? Jimmy, I asked for you.
Right. So, I don't tell this to you before. So, see the Braveheart that you see in the movies?
Yes.
Like, it's all fabricated. Like, William Wallace was a proper soldier, and he was a proper warrior in Scotland. But the whole Braveheart, where they meet in this, you know, this big field, and the two of them are like, right, I'm going to charge at you and you're going to charge at me. It never, ever happened like that. So it actually took place in a bridge. It's called Stirling Bridge, just outside Stirling Castle. And what had happened was some rules of engagement. The English were like, right, you're going to let our troops come across the bridge and then we'll have a nice fair fight, even though we were outnumbered. William Wallace is like, aye, that's what we're going to do. So what they did was they let half the troops come across the bridge, blew up the bridge, slaughtered everybody on one side, and then went back and slaughtered them all on the other side. So Scottish people were a wee bit cunning.
You're cunning? You fuck yeah, you yeah. are. That's all, dude. I never heard that story.
No, me neither.
I told Jimmy... Aren't you glad we asked the question now?
Yep.
Let me ask you, where was Mel Gibson? Is he Australian?
He is. He's Australian. He's played a Scottish guy. Here's the worst part of that film. They didn't even film in Scotland because the mosquitoes, the mozzies, were just too much for them. So they ended up having to film it in Ireland.
Did he sound, because again, guys can pick up their own accents and who sounds right. Did he sound right?
You have to give him that. He does sound Scottish. And MD from Scotland that watches it, it gets them jacked. Now, we were playing England. It must have been last Friday. We played England in the European Cup. So it's like all the European teams get together, pretty much like the Copa America, get together and we play. This is the first time Scotland has been in it in 23 years. That's how good we are at football. 23 years without having a major tournament. Straight after we played England, they started playing Braveheart on the TV. How wild is that? That's Scottish funny.
That is funny. That's fucking hysterical. Hey, back to your jiu-jitsu training. How old were you when you walked into that place, the academy, you started training?
I was about 25, I think it was, 25, 26. So I'm 33 now.
Wow. That's when you first started your martial arts training?
Yep. Had never done any martial arts. No wrestling background, no nothing at all, boxing, any of that kind of stuff. It was always football. Like, the west of Scotland, that's all we're doing is play football. In small circles, if you're too big for football, you'll go in and play rugby. And
had physical sport background crashing into guys. So it wasn't foreign.
It's soccer. We call it football.
Oh, but you didn't play rugby. I think you're saying you played rugby too.
No, I dabbled with that, but that was not until I was doing MMA.
Oh, okay.
And just one of these things where I thought one of the guys invited me along to play some rugby. Turns out I was pretty good at that. It's just running and hitting folk, innit? Like, there was nothing to it. So,
did you fight a lot as a kid growing up? Were you a fist fighter in the street?
No, I was the opposite. I'm tall, skinny. I'm built for running. So any sort of fights that were happening, boom. I did have a big brother, and so he's like 4 years older than me. And that's how my guard game's so good for on bottom, because he would be just wailing on me. And I would have to use my legs as defense, you know, to try and like stop him, kicking him off. So I do all my jiu-jitsu to my brother, even though that's as much as I had it back then.
And obviously you look so good against Jamal Hill, who I think was undefeated up to that point, right? Wasn't he 8-0?
Yes, he was.
And you handed him a very decisive loss. Do you think the referee, I'm sure you've been asked this already, do you think he waited too long? Or was he not looking at the arm? Was he looking at the face to see if he went out? What was he looking at?
You know, it's the thing about being a referee in any sport, there's going to be human error. And that's one of these moments, but it just happens to be in our sport. If human error happens, then it's catastrophic. In football, if human error happens, it's not the end of the world, is it?
Sure.
Like, maybe they lose a point. Maybe there's a foul which went on. But in our sport, if a referee drops the ball, it's quite catastrophic. And that's what we've seen on Saturday night. Now, you can't put it all on him, because as a mixed martial artist, you've got to put that pressure on the fighter I'm against as well. Because he knows his own body. And if he is telling the referee, just by his posture, he was telling the referee, no, I'm still in. So the referee's looking at his posture, not really looking at the arm. But then I threw up my hands. And if you watch back, I threw my hands up and I like say to the referee, it's broke. Because at that time, I had no idea if it was dislocated or if it was broke. So in my eyes, it was broke. It's broke. And I tried to tell him, the referee, that. The referee is from America. He doesn't understand a Scottish guy shouting, it's broke. He has no idea what that is. So
it was a war cry.
Yeah, it probably was. Like, I've been better doing sign language team, and maybe I've understood that. So, but bringing it back, it's a hard job being a referee, and you can't put all the blame on him. It's one of these things. He's made a mistake, and it's part of your sport. And there's always going to be referees making mistakes.
How fucking tough is Jamal Hill too? Like, sometimes in a loss, like, a guy actually is more impressive with the way he lost, and the fact that he took that and just jumped up after, and he's like, yeah, but, you know, like, wow, I want to watch him fight again.
Yep, he is. He's a tough breed, and I like the fact that going into this fight, there was a lot of heated debates between the two of us. He'd come out and he was very, very vocal about what he was going to do to me. And I'd say to everybody, I says, I'm going to take him down in the first round and I'm going to sub him. I thought it maybe would have went to the second round, but I would have got the submission in the second round. The minute I felt him, I was like, I'm going to pull him down. But I take off my hat, because he went out in his shield. He wasn't going to give up, and I like that. And then I like the fact that once he'd been seen by the doctors, his arm's still dislocated, he stands up and he says, I've got too much respect for you, Paul, not to stand next to you when you've got your hand raised. Ooh. Now, that's a true warrior. You won't be able to hear that, but that's what he said to him. He says, I've got too much respect for you, so
that's nice.
I'm going to stand here and get your hand raised. He goes to hold the referee's arm. His arm slips and he's like, right, in mortal pain. But that's like, he's a tough guy. Leading on to that, we started speaking to his coaches. And it's a beautiful thing about MMA. It's a beautiful thing about martial arts. People are respectful and people want to learn. And they'd started speaking to, this is Jamal's coach, he started speaking to us about my jiu-jitsu. And he said, Paul, we worked that position, that exact position, because we've seen you in this. And we worked it every day for 6 months. But you know what it's like? It doesn't matter if you drill it every day. This is something that I'm very good at. This is an area where I'm very good. So they were just impressed with my transitions and were impressed with my actual attack. So that way we started drinking. It's one of the Scottish things about, as you know, we like to have a couple of whiskies. We shared the experience with the guys. And then from that, Jamal came back for the hospital. We had a few beers. Fast forward 3 hours, we're in a nightclub dancing. What a sport we're in.
That is so great. You won the fight. Who won the dance-off? Was there a dance-off? Did you guys, are you doing the two-step? I thought I saw something.
So I'm a dad, and I've got that dad dance, you know, that dad dancing, the two-step one. Like,
that's what I do. I do like this kind of thing. Like,
that's good, here. Matt.
Aye. And it's just, it looks like we're boxing, we're shadow boxing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's just, I've got it. Aye. So I'm definitely too old to be in nightclubs, man. I feel it. But I've still got some miles left on the clock for being in the sport.
Do you get embarrassed when you dance? I'm amazed. Like, I'm not embarrassed with many things, but dancing is humiliating. I can do a lot of things and not give a shit, but dancing humiliates me.
Jimmy acts like he's searching for somebody. He does the old
if you're dropping the big moves, if the arms come above your shoulders, you need to go for it. The arms need to be just below the shoulders. They don't go away from the body. And they can't go high, because then you look like you're doing.
Then you have to know what you're doing.
For instance, let's put, like, there's some music on. How would you go ahead, Craig?
It's just a wee two step. That's all it is. Just kind of like we're in my zone.
I get a little nutty though.
Oh, do you go high? I mean, see you go high. That's when you know your people are looking at you. You just
and then when they start coming over, I tell them, I go, get away, you little.
You're in a club, you're going to.
Get away, you hookers. Husband and father, get away. That's what I do. Sorry, I did that entirely too long.
That's okay.
I make you feel uncomfortable.
No, not at all.
I'm actually wanting to approach you. Like, how you doing?
Next time you and Jamal go out to a club, I want the invite.
Yeah, dear, listen, you're more than welcome, man. Anytime the Scottish guys come, you're more than welcome, but you need to keep up this.
I smell hangover four is what I say.
Will I tell you how I get home on Saturday night? I have no idea. I woke up in bed Sunday morning and my coach Brian's like, you all right? And I said, what are you doing in my room? And he says, I had to come and get you for down in the lobby. The UFC had phoned Brian and said, you're going to have to come and get Paul. So he comes downstairs and there's Paul lying. I'm lying in the middle of the street, you know, on the sidewalk, steaming drunk. Couldn't move, absolutely mortal. And it took three people to put me in a wheelchair, wheel me up to my room. Then they stripped me, then they put me to bed. Now, you want to party with the Scottish?
Yeah, you were tanked.
Yeah.
You were fucking tanked, yeah. Now, do you get sick the next morning? Are you a hangover guy or no?
No, we got up and watched some baseball. And if there's a sport, a nurse, a hangover, it would be baseball. Like,
interesting.
You know, you're just sitting there, you're just enjoying guys slinging balls, guys hitting balls, and you're just like, this is how you nurse a hangover. And then you get a couple of beers and then get back on it. And then Sunday was a wipeout as well. So we know how to train hard, but we also know how to party hard.
Yeah, well, you deserve it, man. Yeah. After that arm lock on an undefeated Jamal Hill.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, you went in there.
Underdog.
Like, you had all the cards, man. You went in there. It wasn't a surprise to you or your team. So credit to you, man. And I love Jamal. I mean, Jamal is a great fighter, man.
Yeah, we like him.
But, I mean, I bleed jiu-jitsu. So I was like, fuck, that's amazing, man. I go, you're going for it again. And now I'll tell you right now, that's why the gloves are worse for you. Sometimes the gloves are harder to strangle. But I feel like with the arm locks, they kind of stick, don't they, Paul?
Yep, they get stuck. And especially, see when we're in, like, a couple of minutes into the fight, his body's nice and dry. So see when you get a hold of something, you don't have that nice sweaty slide that you get, and then the gloves just catch at the end. Now, he was trying to stand up because I could hear his corner was screaming, stand up. And I was like, nah, I'm just hanging on here. If you're standing up, you're taking me with you.
You had his arms all wrapped up. He had those, that's where those long limbs could be a disadvantage. Yeah. With Jamal Hill with that nice reach and whatnot. I should have jumped guard on Dean Thomas in the first round. Anyway.
Just pull that, man. Pull it every day of the week. So, what's next for Paul? Where do we go for you? Where's next? Now, we've been in touch. The bosses have been in touch and they've offered us a fight. And I can't even tell you who it is. What? But what I want to do is, it's
close.
It's a big name.
Let me ask you this. You can't say who it is.
Yep.
Is it someone who you predict would be comfortable on the ground with you, or do you predict they would prefer a stand-up matchup?
See, when you get to that top 10, when you get to some savages in there, they're all rounded. There's guys who are good at jiu-jitsu. There's guys who are good at boxing.
good at boxing?
Yep. So that's all I can tell you.
Well, I'd like to see Paul Craig Dominic Reyes. That's what I'd like to see. That'd be a good matchup. That would be a good matchup. Now, I'm not saying that's the one they're going to give him.
I can see your face. The cogs are working overtime.
Oh, you see it? I know, man. I got names I want to throw out there, but I know you're not going to answer.
He can't say it.
Listen, it's a big name.
I want to know.
The minute the UFC sent us this back, within about 2 seconds, we'd sent them back. Yes, we would love that fight.
It's not Blachowicz because he's got Glover Teixeira.
Yep.
So it's got to be somebody else in the top 10. Anthony Smith, who is Rakic?
I'll tell you this. See, if you got on a bus and drove 300 miles across country, you could not be further away from it.
I couldn't.
No. Like, see when the name comes out, you're just going to go, beautiful.
Well, I'll tell you right now, you're doing a good job of getting us intrigued because I'm.
Yes.
Listen, I am like, I wish I was lying to you, but I'm being genuinely serious. This is a life changing fight for me.
Holy shit. Well, you can listen. How about this? I'm going to stop guessing. I'm going to say after that performance, you deserve it, buddy.
Yep. Yeah.
You fucking deserve it. You took out an undefeated fighter. Guys had you picked. Guys had him picked. Guys had you. Listen, the guy's undefeated. Craig's got a couple of losses. He's not going to beat this undefeated kid. Not up in here, Paul Craig. Listen, I'm so excited for your next fight. I think I'm going to DM you later on and be like, look, man, between us, just tell me who. Yeah. I won't say nothing on
it. Message the boss, man. The boss will tell you in a heartbeat.
I actually just called Dana.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul, let me ask you, because the audience wants to know. When you're not practicing taking limbs off or doing your cardio and whatever else, something unrelated to MMA, give us a hobby, a book you're reading, a show you're watching, a movie you like.
So the book I've been reading, so I normally get a book for going on the travel, and the book I started reading, never seen the film either. I know how the film goes and I've seen all the scenes in it, is The Shining.
Oh, really?
It's a beautiful book. Like, I never thought a horror book would be something that I would enjoy. But the way it's pulled me in. I tried to leave and they pulled me back in.
Yeah.
So good.
Is that good?
You know, the book was very good, but it didn't... It wasn't... The movie was more brutal. Like, when you look at Misery, that was a great Stephen King book, but the book has more brutality than the film.
Really?
Yeah, like in the movie they hobble him with a thing, right? Like she hits what does she do? She hits his foot with a fucking mallet. The
movie's fucking horrendous.
But in the book, she cuts his foot off with a hatchet. So the book is more brutal, but The Shining, the movie's more brutal. The book was there's the hedge maze animals. Are you finished with it yet? I don't want to.
So no, I'm on the last. So it's in three parts. So I'm on the last part.
Okay.
I never thought a horror book could get me the way it got me.
Oh, you love it.
You know, when you're reading books and you're like, they're really, really good. And I've always kind of liked my favorite books are like Lord of the Rings. I read 1984, The Last Camp. I liked Animal Farm. I love books. And I was like, nah, The Shining, I don't know if a horror book, it's not really going to get me. Because like,
yeah,
I enjoy horror films. I don't think a movie, a book is going to have the same effect, but it does. And it's good fun.
Do you ever, it's a good one. That was my first Stephen King book. I used to work in 1987. I worked in a warehouse. We had gotten this shipment of books and I was like, on my breaks, I just started reading it. And I was like, holy fuck. Like it really was, that's a great one. I like to see the movie first and then read the book. Because then instead of losing information, you're getting more information. So I always like reading the book after.
See, so I've never ever seen the film. I've seen parts of it. You know, I've never seen it from start till finish. And we know the famous scene where Jack's got the croquet mallet. And I know all this kind of stuff. And he's battling the door with the axe. I know this. But I feel it's shadowed the book because I know what Jack looks like. I know what he looks like because I'm seeing Jack Nicholson for Jack Torrance. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, that's true.
That kind of overshadows it for me.
You only see him.
So I know, and it's difficult to see anything other than him because it was such a pivotal role for him.
Yeah, it's true.
What kind? Now, what's a horror movie that scared the shit out of you?
I've got a fear of clowns, and it started from when I was a small boy. I used to fall asleep with the TV on, and as I woke up one night, it was on the TV. Now, that traumatized me for the rest of my life when it comes to clowns. I went and seen the new one, and that's scary. That's, like, psychologically scary.
Wait, what's the movie? What movie is it?
It?
Yeah.
The new one? Yeah, the new one is fucking... I watched the beginning of it. He's taking the little kids, like, I'm with my older brother, Johnny, or whatever.
Georgie, yeah.
Fucking horrible, man. Little kid. His arm ripped off and shit. Eating.
So I they kind of films get me, but also... See the like poltergeist ones, you know, like the new, like all the video camera ones. And it's like, it's just the subtle movements of something. And like, you're proper scared. I'm shitting myself.
You know what terrified me? And I saw it recently.
The Blair Witch.
No, Blair Witch. I saw after I already knew what it was. It was kind of scary. Hereditary scared the fuck out of me. Did you see that?
What is that?
It's with Toni Collette. Who was in Sixth Sense. She was the mother in Sixth Sense. And also the father, I think, is Gabriel Byrne. And it's just about it's about witchcraft, but it's terrifying. And that really fucking scared me. That, like, of all the films I've seen in the last 5 years, I'd say Hereditary is probably the creepiest.
That's the guy, Hereditary?
Hereditary really scared me, yeah. Terrifying.
Yeah, I'm not a horror film guy, to be honest with you.
Do you like the gruesome stuff, or do you like the more psychological, where you're shitting yourself?
With the scary shit, I don't really... It don't really scare me, and I don't like gross shit, you know? I like back then, The Sixth Sense or The Others. You ever seen The Others with Nicole Kidman?
Yeah,
I like more spooky shit than I do like the gross shit, you know?
just hacking off limbs for the sake of it.
Yeah, what's Freddy Krueger going to do? I'll break his fucking thumb. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't fucking, ooh. Even Jason, I think I could get him into fucking Ashigarami.
Piece him up. Piece him up.
Yeah, exactly. I'll pull a Paul Craig on him.
Just pull Gab.
Well, listen, man, dude, I'm going to be going to go over the top 10 later, Jimmy. We're going to see.
Yeah, I speculate Dom Reyes. That's my guess. I could be wrong. He indicated that I was not correct. Could be Thiago Santos. I'm going to guess it's somebody in the top 5 or 6.
Got to be high up there.
I think quite a lot of the guys are matched up. So
when do you think you're going to announce it? When do you think you're announcing this?
It's up to the bosses. I wish I could tell everybody. I literally want to run down the street, bollock naked, shouting this name at the top of my lungs.
So wait, but is it somebody that's currently in the division?
See, I wish I could say. I wish I could.
Ah, wait a minute now.
I wish I could be like, it's this guy. I promise you. It may not even be a guy. In this day and age, it could be a woman. It could be transgender.
Could be somebody. Hold on a minute now.
I want to see that top 10. Where are they?
Paul's not even saying if it's somebody currently. I'm not saying it's not going to be John Jones, because John's not going to go back down in weight. Unless he had a shot at fighting Adesanya, who would go up in weight. Then I could see John going back down for that. I would say it's not John Jones, just because I haven't heard about him being ready to fight at all. Could it be Jared Cannonier? Is there any rumor of him going up?
Why not Johnny Walker?
Could be Johnny Walker.
It could be. The guy's in Ireland training. Could be.
God damn it. But he won't even say. Now Paul's got me all fucked up, because he won't say if it's somebody that's currently in the division. So now I'm looking, is it somebody who's going to jump up or jump down?
I can't even help you, because if I say it, you would go, honestly, I wish we were talking and I could just tell you.
I know. But you know what? If you do say it and then he doesn't take the fight, we can make fun of him.
He asked for it? Yes.
Oh, you better give it to him.
Oh, I'm giving it.
Fuck yeah, my Scottish friend. Yeah, William Wallace, who? You're carrying that country on your shoulders, man.
But did you see the Scottish guy won the World's Strongest Man?
No.
Oh, really?
Scottish guy just won World's Strongest Man. His name's Luke Stoltman. He's from Inverness area. So we're doing not too bad. And then we're playing Croatia tomorrow in the European Cup as well for the football. So it's right at this moment, it's pretty positive being Scottish.
Wait, what's his name now? Is it Scott Stoltman?
Luke Stoltman. I'm sure it's Luke. He's got a brother.
Ah, Luke.
He's called the Albatross, and both of them are strong. They're in the World's Strongest Man.
Yeah, those guys just train. Like, those strongman gyms, those guys are fucking lunatics. They train with, like, tires and just bricks and, like, real-life stuff. I mean, they do weights, too, but they really train with bizarre.
So the boys up in Scotland are just flinging trees about, cables, just tossing cables, flinging stones about. Just tough SOBs, man.
Oh, he's a beast. This guy's a monster. I'm looking at a picture of him. I think I'm looking at him and his brother. They're just giant men.
They're big, big dudes, man. I think the small one's probably like 6'2", but because he's standing next to the young brother who's taller than him, he makes him look like a normal-sized man.
Yeah, he looks small compared to... And who's the other guy? There's an Icelandic guy who was in...
Hathor Bjornsson.
From Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
The guy had like a boxing match recently or some shit, didn't he?
No, I think he's trying to have a boxing match with the English guy who won the World's Strongest Man, who was Eddie Hall. So the two of them are just two big units. And the same again, because they're so tall, they're like 6 foot plus. And because they're so wide, they look like small men, but they're not. They're massive mountains.
The thing with them, though, with a fight like that, I hope they have like 30-second rounds, because then I guarantee they're not going to be like fucking Nate Diaz with the cardio. Like fucking, then they could be holding their fucking knees.
So you need to go and look at Eddie Hall swimming. Now, this is a guy who's massive, and you want to see how good he is at swimming. He's an absolute bear at swimming. It's impressive. If you go onto his Instagram, check him out, man. He's a big, big unit.
Is he considered the strongest man in history? I'm looking him up. He's a giant guy. Oh my God. He has a big goatee, right?
Right. He does. I think he's got the 450 kilogram deadlift, is that? And he ended up blacking out. He lifted it, held it, and then blacked out.
Just like MMA, though, the Red Viper was doing great footwork, and he was all over him, and he had that fight won, but he shouldn't have been gloating.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm not make-believe, but that's the fucking Game of Thrones thing. I fucking love that show.
That's true.
Yeah, it went downhill last season. Anyway.
It happens.
It does. It does.
But hey, how good is the Hound? He's Scottish as well.
Ah, yeah, he's really great. And they wrapped up his story. They've wrapped up his storyline very well, too. I like how they wrapped it up.
Well, the Hound was fucking awesome, man. Oh, God. There's a scene with him and Arya when they go into that fucking shack when they got the Lannister men there. And they know they're outnumbered. She saw that the fucking that guy has, what's the name of the thing? Sting? Whatever the fuck his name. That's Sting. She had a fucking name of the fucking little sword. Anyway, Needle.
Needle.
Yes.
That's my dick's name.
That. He killed my friend. And then he goes, are you crazy? We're not going in there. Are you fucking nuts? But then the guy opens up the door. He sees him. The Hound, without flinching, walks right in that fucking door, Jimmy. Paul, you know what I'm talking about. You know this scene. This scene is great. The guy goes over to him, starts talking some shit.
The line I like is, who the fuck names a sword?
And who names like, a sword? And then she's like, go ahead, Paul, you say it.
Like, a lot of people name them swords, and he goes, a lot of cunts.
Yes, a lot of cunts.
Absolutely brilliant.
Best scene ever, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I love that fucking scene.
Yeah, it's beautiful, man.
Paul Craig, we will definitely, definitely talk to you again. I can't wait to see who you're teasing. I have my guess. My first guess was Dominic Reyes, but I could be wrong. I'm wrong a lot about a lot of shit. So whoever it is, I'm looking forward to seeing it. We will talk to you before that next fight.
Here's hope, my friends.
Congratulations, too. And congratulations on getting your black belt. It was a great week for you.
Yep. Thanks very much, guys. A pleasure as always.
All right. See you later, Paul. Take care.
See you later.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Who is he fighting?
I have no idea, man.
Life.
We have to talk about the fights, dude.
Yes, let's. There was a great, great night.
I was talking to you before about Casey O'Neill.
Yeah,
that was a badass, man. Yeah. Shit, that was a great fight.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it now. Let me go find that fight. Casey O'Neill versus Lara Procopio. Procopio, where thy outfit. Forget it. Listen, Jimmy, what if I just came on here and stopped having fun? You'd probably have more fun.
No, I like that you have fun.
All right, Jimmy. All right, Jimmy, let's talk about.
Don't forget Matt Brown over Diego Lima.
Now you're all over the
second round knockout. Oh, I thought you were jumping to the main card. Sorry.
No. All right, really quick. That Casey O'Neill fight. That was a fucking good fight. It went three rounds. I enjoyed the hell out of it. The other girl was tough. She was mentioning something between rounds about a stomach problem or something. I'm not sure about that. I don't know what that's about. But she was still very game and very, very tough. She didn't say, uh-oh, I'm in a rear naked choke. Let me just tap out really quick. She went out. Like, I'm not saying that everybody should go to sleep.
Right.
But she did not want to quit. And she knew the worst thing that could happen right there is her going to sleep.
Right.
You know what I mean? Other people say, oh, my neck. No. Casey O'Neill had her. And Lara knew she got caught. But she's just trying to get out. And she took a nap. But listen, much props to Casey O'Neill. Both girls, Great fight. I can't say enough about it. Ricky Glenn defeated Joaquin Silva. And Joaquin Silva looked fucking... This happened in 37 seconds with a well-timed right hand. But, you know, Joaquin Silva seemed very... I'm not saying overconfident, but he was pumped. He was just like getting ready to like be like a dog to let off the leash and go nuts. And Ricky Glenn capitalized on it, man. Well timed, straight right. No looping, just straight down, right from the chin, no wind up.
Yep.
It found its mark. And he was very smart, Ricky, because when he sprawled, instead of looking to grapple, he kept touching him in his face. Bop, 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 bop. So Silva was never able to get his legs underneath him once he was hurt. So big props to Ricky Glenn, you know. Josh Parisian got a split decision over Rogue Martinez. It was close.
Yeah.
It was close, Jimmy.
Yep.
Holy shit, Jimmy. Chaos Williams versus Matthew Semi the Jedi.
Helmsburger, yeah.
Yes. Great fight. Great fucking fight. And I said before I wanted the Jedi on here because I know he's into that kind of shit that I'm into. But I talked to either guy. Chaos Williams, I thought, fought brilliantly, man, because not only was he throwing punches in bunches, but he was starting on the – I love when guys don't just headhunt. When they start to do some feints and then they start going to the body, landing on the head. I mean, I'll tell you, I was impressed with his attack because they both had power. But I just feel that Semi had a little bit of hard time just getting his rhythm down, man. I think Chaos was just so – active Semi was just a little bit behind trying to play catch up, you know. Always in the fight though, it always looked like he was a punch away from maybe getting back to getting maybe an upper hand, but he was kind of behind that whole fight with Chaos was for, I think Chaos fought brilliantly.
Yeah, it was great. And I love body shots. They're very underrated as far as like what's enjoyable to watch, but watching a guy wilt from body shots, I love. And again, you know, the guys call for them, you know, Cruz and those guys will say like, you know, he should be going on the body a little bit more, but I always enjoy when somebody does that.
It's true, Jimmy.
Do you want to talk about how good fucking Chito Vera looked? I mean, how incredible did he look?
I'm impressed with Chito, man. I really am.
Yeah.
I thought that he was, I love those stepping in elbows. Crap.
Oh,
they were well.
Yeah. How tough is Davy Grant too, by the way? To take all of those elbows.
That guy's a stud too. And he was,
yeah,
he was in that fight in the sense where it's like, yo, man, is he going to, he's looking like somebody's might go through. But you got to give a lot of credit to not only the offense, but the defense of Chito Vera. I mean, he was like taking, he had his guard up high. You must love that, Jimmy. When guys lower their hands, you're always like, ah, but he was blocking a lot of that shit.
I don't mind when they lower their hands. Like, it works for Wonder Boy. It works for a lot of guys, but sometimes you see it not working. I don't mind it if it's a guy's style.
Do I have to have the producers bring up tape every time you're saying you hate the fucking hands down low?
Well, because when I watch it, I'm always like, ah.
Oh, I know.
Like, I'm worried they're going to get hit. I'm not questioning how they fight. I mean, I've seen guys do it where it doesn't necessarily. Who was I just watching? They keeps their left low, but it makes them kind of harder to hit. It was a fight I was watching last week.
Well, Jimmy, I'm not sure. There's a lot of fights.
I know.
You can't throw that at me now. But I will tell you, even though – now I'm going all over the place. Do you want to go fight by fight still or you want to keep
going? No, it doesn't matter.
Da-da-da-da-da. I'm looking around. Verna versus Kanako. That was a doctor stoppage, but that was a fucking – can you pronounce that last name for me?
Jenny Aruba.
Thank you. Good fight. Really good fight. And I was impressed by her, man. I was impressed by her because that girl was a very good judoka. I just like saying judoka. She's very good in judo player. All right, Matt Brown. Fuck yeah, Matt Brown. Listen.
Yeah.
Diego Lima was doing a good job of attacking Matt Brown's leg that whole first round. But Matt was being stalking him. He looked a little lighter on that front leg in the second round. And you're like, yo, how much more of these leg kicks could Matt Brown take?
Right.
And Matt Brown's like, don't worry about it because I'm ending it in round two. And fuck, beautiful right hand. And then he just, you know, Matt Brown style. He's just brutal.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, that was like a walk-off.
Yeah, I was happy for Matt. Very happy for him.
You said about Bruno Silva.
Yeah.
Matty's 42 years. Matt's 40 also. Yeah. You know, he's 40 years old.
Same with Choi over Julian Arosa, first round TKO. He looked great. Choi looked great.
Yes. Fuck yeah, he did.
And we already said how good Marlon Vera getting that win, getting that one back, obviously, over David Grant, kind of, you know, it's 1-1 with those guys. And Sergey Spivak against Alexei Oleinik, decision.
It's weird, man. Yeah, Sergey, he might have won that, Spivak, but I do like Oleinik, man. He's always in there. He makes it fun.
Always, and he's, again, he's the guy you have to hit with a fucking 18-wheeler to knock out. But, you know, Spivak clearly won that fight, you know.
Now, let's talk about
Chan Sung Jung over Dan Ige. Yeah.
Kind of. I was going to say it, but.
Oh, Jimmy, sorry, buddy.
It's okay, Jimmy.
Did you think, what round did they give to Ige?
Probably the last round.
Maybe. Okay.
Right? Last round, he started landing. He started going to the body, coming up to the head. Okay. I do like the corner work of Eric Nixick. I thought he was great in the corner part. I like when between the third and fourth round, he's like, look, man, we got to go back to our grappling striking, something along those lines. Like when you're striking, dealing with a grappler, because the zombie was timing the takedowns on him.
Yeah.
So he's telling Ige, look, man, body shots. I want a straight right hand to the heart. I mean, he was given they were in sync with that, you know, and it was part instructional, part motivational, very good corner work. It wasn't enough. I mean, even though Ige was in tune with Nixick and he made corrections, especially that last round, he was going for it, man. He was just a little bit behind, but Ige he was behind the whole fight, but he never stopped trying. And for him to make corrections in that fifth round shows that he can make corrections more so in the future with more time, with more planning. And I love seeing that guy fight. I love seeing Ige fight. I love seeing both guys.
And didn't Jung take a cut? Jung took a cut on the left eye that was in a bad spot. But for some reason, I remember seeing it kind of bled around the eye. Like it didn't look like it got in his way at all. But there was potential for that to be a problem.
Man, I don't know. I don't know. But I mean, yes. But I mean, you know, Jung was on. The zombie was on.
He looked great. He looked great.
And, he just seemed like one step ahead.
Yep.
I do like Ige's fifth round. I thought it was very... heroic. I think he went out on his shield. He was going out on his shield. In other words, he wasn't just saying, all right, fuck it. It's not my night. He tried his ass off and he'll grow from it. And I mean, the zombie landed, the guy's never in a boring fight.
I know.
You know?
And by the way, I don't know if we mentioned, but Holloway is out of the July 17th main event against Yair, which is unfortunate because I was really, really wanted to see that fight. So I don't know if they're going to just push it back. Or if they're going to give Yair another fight.
Yeah. Wait, are you reading this?
Yeah.
About Gige?
Oh, Chikezi. Yeah, his family. They offer his camp offered to fill in. But no, Rodriguez wants Holloway probably. That's a much bigger fight. Just, you know, to fight Max.
Chikezi says, and Gige is a nice guy, you know, but I guess he's...
Yeah.
He's got to say what he's got to say. He goes, this is what he says. The UFC, right? The UFC... called me to replace Holloway. Of course I agreed. And now we're waiting for Yair. Hopefully he's going to show up July 17th. But I heard that he's a little bit of a pussy.
Yeah, he's trying to get him. That would be a very, very interesting fight, those two guys. But again, I wouldn't blame Yair if he waited either, because Holloway is Holloway. And it's like, if you get a chance to fight Max Holloway, you know, Giga's a great fighter and he's going to be around for a long time. But Max Holloway is Max Holloway. Although I wouldn't, who the fuck wants to fight Holloway after how good he looked in his last fight? I mean, he looked as good as he has ever looked in that last fight. So I don't know why anybody would want to deal with him after Calvin Kattar.
Man, I think people want what he's got, bro. You understand? You understand? That's what they want. They want what he's got. All right, listen. All right, so let's just talk to the audience at home really quick. Guys, I sang.
Yeah, it was awful.
The Kid Cudi song. And then the producer said they can't have it in because, I was playing the music in the background. If you want to listen to it, because people like when I recommend stuff.
Sure.
Oh, I got to recommend a Netflix thing after this. But listen, 2 seconds. Kid Cudi. And how about this? I'm an idiot. I think this thing just came out. because I heard it in the King of Staten Island in the beginning and I'm all happy. Dude, this shit came out 8 years ago. Where the fuck I been? It's called Just What I Am. Oh, it's so catchy. And I play it in my car and I bob my head. But Jimmy, listen, really quick. What I want to say is I'm watching the sequel, The Black Summer, the second season. Black Summer, Jimmy, is everybody's all Walking Dead. Ooh, I like Darrow. He's got a bow and arrow. Fuck off. The show's been shitty forever. Listen, if you want a zombie fix, go on to Netflix, watch Black Summer, and then watch the second. Watch Black Summer, the second season that just came out, and me and my wife are going through that thing like wildfire. Jimmy, it's very entertaining.
Yeah.
It's almost like those 28 Day Later zombies that are fucking sprinting after you. Those kind of zombies. And the fire, dude, it's talking about scary. I should, right. You know what? I should have told Paul Craig to watch this. He likes the scary shit.
Good yeah, show. But he might not like that kind of scare. I don't know what kind of, there's different kinds of scary. Zombie scary is a weird scary. That doesn't really frighten me.
Really, Jimmy? No, Jimmy, you are thinking of the fucking old school Night in the Living Dead. No, fuck off. Dude, you can walk around pushing them over. No, these zombies are like fucking, they're like on fucking PCP. These are PCP for zombies. It's great, Jimmy. It's a fun show, man.
Even if it scares me a little bit, the type of thing, watch Hereditary. That's the kind of movie that terrifies me. Like, that's the type of shit that really scares me.
Jimmy, listen to me.
Yes.
Almost too much fun today. Yeah. Almost.
Almost not quite.
Go ahead. What do you want to plug, my friend?
Chip Chipperson podcast is up. The new Doug Bell podcast is up. The Bellcast. So go and enjoy both on Chip Chipperson's YouTube. And again, I think JimNorton.com has got tickets now. I'm finally starting to go back on the road. Comedy on the State, which I should probably know where that is. Madison, Wisconsin. That's where it is. Madison.
Jimmy, I need an agent.
In August.
I need an agent. I want to do voiceover work.
Oh, yes. Then you need an agent.
How do I get a fucking agent? I sat down with one guy, and he's a nice guy, but, you know, he wasn't really interested. He wanted to meet me. That's not really good for selling myself.
No.
His loss, Jimmy. Anyway, Jimmy, help me get into some voiceover work.
I can't even get myself into it. No. I've bombed at every voiceover audition I've ever done.
My voice and your voice is a little bit different.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I get, like, for instance, I want you to ask me if I'm talking to you. Do it.
Are you talking to me?
Well,
are you talking to me?
Hey, Jimmy, you talking to me? I don't see anybody else around here. Who are you talking to?
Somebody that doesn't sound like Robert De Niro.
I know, not at all. Not at all. That was my take on it. That's my take on it. I love you so much, Jimmy. Listen, I'll let you go. If anybody wants a cameo from me, feel free.
Yes.
If you want a Kimura from me, maybe an Asha Gurami. Fuck. Stop by Sarah BJJ. I'm going to get my merchandise going again. Gee, I got so many irons that are like right outside of the fire.
Sure.
They're getting very cool. I should really put them in the fire.
Absolutely.
How long, Jimmy, have I told you about me doing the fucking video game thing, the Twitch thing?
I don't know what you're waiting for. You had the whole pandemic.
I play every day for free.
Just do it.
And let me give a shout out to another Scottish friend of mine, Kimura Lad. He took the name Kimura Lad from this show.
Good for him.
I hear that Paul Craig accent every day when I'm squadding up with him and Bucko. All right, everybody. Listen, if you guys are listening to this, I'm going to apologize for the last 10 minutes. All gibberish. That's but okay. Listen, I'll see you guys in a couple of days.
Yeah, bye.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.